bring greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And it was almost as if would have given Vernon my notes this morning. The title of the message is He Giveth More Grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. We'll use this as a jumping off place. This is the story of Paul asking the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. There in verse 7. Verse 8, it says he asked the Lord three times. And in verse 9, the Lord answered him. And this is what he said. He said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, now this is Paul's response, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of these verses. What comes to your mind? What comes to my mind is the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. You know, as we stand on the threshold of year 2025, there are many changes staring us in the face. Some we know about and some we don't know about. Some that are big and some that are small. Some of these changes may hit us really where it hurts the most and almost kind of overwhelm our soul. But my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if you notice, twice Paul says, his response was, most gladly will I glory. And in verse 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure. Is that our response this morning? That we take pleasure, we most gladly will submit to the infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Or to take pleasure in infirmities, in sickness, in limitations, the reproaches of people, that's hard to bear sometimes. Just necessary needs of life, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. Because I can rejoice in this, because then Christ can be strong in my life. Most times we endeavor to remove ourselves from these things because they're so hard to take, so hard to bear. But Paul is saying he rejoiced in this because then Christ can really, truly live in him. and show his strength. May we never forget that God knows our life from the beginning to the end, and nothing takes him by surprise. He will always be there with his inexhaustible store of grace for his children. You know, kind of like filling in the low places of life and taking off the top of the high places, the high mountains that we need to climb, the humanly impossible mountains that we face. He takes our hand in his and leads us safely through those times. When the way is dark and terrifying, when our eyes are dimmed with tears, this is Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. About a week and a half ago, one of my nephews posted a song. And the song said, "He giveth more grace." And I found sheet music for it, but it was the wrong tune. It's not the right tune for that I knew. But I'm just going to read the song. "He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted," and this is the thing I would like us to really listen, "when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half gone or half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father doth both thee and thy load will bear. His love hath no limits, his grace hath no measure. His power no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." This song was written by Annie Johnson Flint. She experienced many extreme physical suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, if I can say that right. And she suffered it pretty well all her life. It left her unable to perform even the basic life tasks. And these lyrics, this song, reflect her personal testimony of finding strength and grace from God, even in midst of great hardships. This Annie also wrote that song, for those of you that this might be also a song you recognize, "God Hath Not Promised the Sky's Always Blue." Same author. This message was born out of a need in my own life to see clearly Jesus Christ and plead his grace to strengthen my soul, my life, when facing a hard time or situation. You know, God delights in showing himself strong on our behalf. He loves giving us the resources that we need when we face situations in life that overwhelm our soul. We face many trials and obstacles of life. As time goes on, we experience trouble, trials. We need grace. He gives what's necessary and needful to help us during this time. But the blessing is, we will never draw that well dry. It is always full to the overflowing, exceedingly strong, inexhaustible. You know, we will always have grace enough and more than enough to get us safely through this life to the other side of eternity, if we rely on Jesus Christ. I'm kind of scattered here. The grace of God is always there to give us what we need at the time we need it. Now, I hope you, brethren, will forgive me for using some of you as examples. roughly three weeks ago, Brian and Rosalie were not in need of a special grace that they needed to have their family uprooted, their family life uprooted. The wife and mama of the children hospitalized, laying in bed for possibly 2 months. Brian off of work, which in reality also affects his employer. The children's life, normal life, completely uprooted. They didn't need that special grace because they weren't experiencing that. However, Sunday morning, I don't know, was it about 2 weeks ago? I think so. They ended up in the hospital. And that's when they needed God's grace. They needed God's grace in a special way that they didn't need it before. I'm sorry. You know, God was faithful. God provided. God provided, he opened his floodgates of grace and met their need. You know, Vernon and Daniel never needed to experience God's grace in the loss of their mother until it actually happened. You know, as they saw their mom slowly fading away, it was painful. It was real. Even though she was old, it was still hard. But God provided his abundant grace for their need at that time. They didn't need that special grace before, but they needed it now. You had to think of Marianne and Karen experiencing God's grace during the time of the death of their husbands. Something that I or my wife has never needed yet. But they did, and God was there. You know, today they might need a different kind of grace or a different measure of grace than right during that time, and God is still faithful. I'm convinced of that. God knows and supplies the need of grace sufficiently, abundantly, for every one of us. What is such a blessing is that when our resources are completely spent, God's resources are, I don't even know if we want to say they're even started being spent. They're there, completely full and overflowing. You know, there were some young brethren that were ordained just this year that needed an extra portion of God's grace. They never faced the need of being ordained or the need of grace because of being ordained. But God was able to help them. You know, there were other brethren that went through the lot that were in that, were sitting up here, and they were not chosen. I believe God was able to supply that need of grace as well. I don't know what they have faced. That is something that I haven't faced in my life, to sit through an ordination and the other man being ordained. But possibly they might be thinking, why did I even have to go through this when God knew beforehand that it's not going to be me, it's going to be somebody else? And the one chosen possibly is struggling with, why me, Lord? What I'm trying to say is, we may not all face life the exact same way. We may not all face life as as you face. I may not face life as you face. You're not going to face life as I face it. But in whatever we are called to live, in whatever situation we're called to go through, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to work His work in our lives, He can give us the grace to get through. And not just the grace to barely get through, but abundantly have the grace of God. You know, there's others here that are facing struggles, that are facing hardships, that are facing needs in life that are not, I didn't mention them. But God is there to give them grace as well. He giveth more grace as the burdens get greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials, He multiplies peace. You have to think of that couple down in on the border there in Texas, whose little six-month-old boy broke his arm. They took him to the hospital, and the child protection services got involved, and they are blaming the dad for child abuse. They said the trial is terrifically hard. It's hard to bear because the dad had to leave the home because the Child Protection Agency was blaming him to be abusing, and he has to, the only way he can be around his family now is to be under supervised visitation. I have not experienced that. But I believe that the grace of God is there for that family. It's more than enough. And God can glorify Himself abundantly through their life, through their testimony, through their just giving Him opportunity to work. You know, we could go on and on. Mothers needing extra grace because they don't reach around. Babies crying, sick, babies crying, maybe they're sick. Toddlers getting into all kinds of messes and troubles. Things are neglected in the home. Other ladies are crying because they don't have children. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. You know, sometimes the life has a way of bringing us up short, throwing us into that vortex, that whirlpool of life that disorients us and would honestly destroy us except for His mercy and grace. If we continue to focus on the problems of life instead of the giver of life, we will be swept under. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting of ailing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. You know, again, God is able to show Himself strong on each person's life situation, each person's need. He delights in giving us mercy and grace. Again, I'd like to ask the question, can we truly say that we rather glory in these things of life called infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Jesus Christ's sake, so that His power can be shown strong in our life? I find that a tremendous challenge. And I'm not sure I'm there yet, because it's... It takes a lot of self-sacrificing to get to there, to that point. And yet, that's where God is calling us to. Turn to James chapter 4. I'd like to, I know a couple of these verses were read this morning, but I'd like to start in verse 6 and read through verse 10. James 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, but let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God has an intense desire to completely control my life and your life with His presence and grace. Now, did you get that? God has an intense desire to control our life. He wants to take full possession of my heart, of your heart. He desires to fill our life and our heart with his spirit. Now, some of these thoughts I gleaned from a F.B. Meyer's writings. There are some conditions that we must meet in order for God to do this. In order that God can fully possess our heart. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. We must be subject to the will of God if we want God to take possession of our heart. It's the only way that God can really get down in our heart and fill us with his presence is if we are in submission to the will of the Father. To be in submission, we also live in obedience. And we listen and seek his direction. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If we want God to completely possess our heart, we must submit. We must resist the devil. We must stand against him, oppose him. Withstand his temptations. This morning, sitting here, I noticed a phrase that I wrote in my Bible, and this was given by Marvin Schrock. He's from Alaska. He said, "Remember, we are no match for the devil, but the devil is no match for Jesus Christ." So we resist the devil. We don't give in. We fight the fight of faith. We resist to the point that we almost cannot go on, and yet that's when God gives us grace to go on. Resist the devil. Number 3, we must draw nigh to God. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We must approach the presence of God. We cannot draw nigh to God going the other way. We cannot approach the throne of God or draw nigh to God and just do our own thing. When we approach or come close to God, we are drawing nigh to Jesus Christ. To come near to him. Remember, it is hard to be near to something or somebody when we are far away. We can't do it. We can't be in two different places at one time. So we need to approach God. We need to physically come close. We need to draw nigh. We need to approach the throne of grace, and he will honor that and come close to us. So we must draw nigh to God. Number 4 is we must cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Verse 8 again. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Repent and believe the word of God. Purify your instruments or your hands of sin, your instruments of sin, and have a single heart. A heart that desires to do the will of the Father. A heart that is not vacillating between good and evil. A heart that is set on course to draw nigh to God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8 says. A double-minded heart is a heart that is here today, then he's over here tomorrow, and he's just kind of all over. There's really no stability in him. purify our heart. And number 5, humility. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We must humble ourselves in the sight of God. We cannot be full of self and still have room for Jesus Christ to fill our heart, because we're so full of self. God will not come into a heart that's full of self. There's no room. The chorus of that song is, his love hath no limits, his grace hath no measure, his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So how do we prepare our hearts today for those times of earth-shattering, life-altering things that happen into our life? How do we prepare our hearts today to be in that position that God can share his grace at that time when our world does turn upside down? I thought of 4 things. These are by all means not a complete list, because how do you start to describe the grace of God with just a couple words? But there are 4 things that I thought of. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 13, there is a couple verses here. And I'm talking about now preparing our heart to be able to receive the grace of God abundantly, richly, above all things, for our sense of need when that need arises. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Live a life of holiness and honesty. A life that put on the armor of light, this armor, this protection of light, this protection of God within our heart. Put it on. Live a life of light, in the light of light. Put on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, when we live in the flesh today, when our earth is shattered, when our world is turned upside down, we have no way to know where to go for help, because we haven't experienced this help before. Yes, God can use those things to draw us to, and he does. But I'm talking about a child of God that professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we cannot find our fulfillment in Jesus Christ today, very likely we will not find it then. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on that armor of light. Live a life of honesty. Live a life of holiness. Live a life of purity. And then God is able to minister to the needs of your soul when that need arises. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 is another one. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And it goes on and says what all happened here. Let this mind be in you. humility and obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember, again, we cannot be full of self and the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was willing to, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we want to be full of Jesus Christ, then we have to have the mind of Christ. Humility and obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12. Verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Looking unto Jesus, considering the life of Jesus Christ. You know, when my life seems hard to bear, when your life seems hard to bear, when our life seems hard to bear, when we think that we about can't go on, let's look to Jesus. Consider his suffering and death. Consider what he experienced to bring me salvation. Ponder and consider this. You know, when we face life, especially here in the U.S. at this point, I don't think any of us have faced life to the point that we were physically persecuted. We may have been mentally injured. We may have been mentally persecuted. But we have not suffered like Jesus Christ has suffered. I don't think there's one of us in here that has suffered the way Jesus Christ has suffered. And he was completely innocent. When we face life, when we suffer in our trials and temptations, when we go through hardships, may we look to Jesus and consider him. What he experienced, what he suffered, the life he lived to bring me and you salvation. Ponder this. I think most of us will come to the realization that our life is actually not that bad. Maybe I shouldn't say that we come to realize that, but by the grace of God, we can be faithful. We can make it. You know, how we relate to our pain and our trials, our temptations, is in direct proportion to how much we look and see Jesus, to consider him. First Peter 4. Verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Here again, it's telling us to have the mind of Christ. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Arm yourselves with the same mind. You know, what thought kept Christ focused toward heaven? Or what thought kept Christ focused through his life that he steadfastly set his, he steadfastly turned his face toward Jerusalem? Is that the way it said? Why? What kept him from, I mean, what made him do that? Especially when he knew that at Jerusalem will begin his life of extreme suffering and his death. What kept him going? I believe the thought that kept him going was, my will is to do the will of the Father. And that thought kept Christ focused to keep going. This morning, arm yourselves with that mind, that our will is to do the will of the Father. Outside of that, we can't go on. God is not able to supply the... No, I shouldn't say that. God is able. But he will honor our choices. Jesus Christ was aim and goal was to be faithful and to do the will of the Father. And he kept that joy of heaven reuniting with his Father in his mind. Somewhere is it Romans, Hebrews? Yes, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think another thing that kept him going was that anticipation of joy of being in the presence of the Father. To be faithful because God was at the end. God was there at the time as well. But God was also his eternal reward. You know, sometimes we hear the thought that we should not live the Christian life because of the reward of heaven. And I know what we're saying. But I'm telling us, friends, that when we look beyond this life, when we look into eternity, it does give us grace. It does give us strength. It does give us joy to see the Father at the end. The Father's promise that we can enter the joy of the Lord and to be in the presence of the Father forever and ever. That does give us strength to go on. Remember, Jesus Christ did that. So arm ourselves with that same mind. We sang a song this morning. They're 290, I think. I stand amazed in the presence. And the last verse says, when with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Arm yourselves with the same mind, that somehow we keep in mind the joy of eternity in Christ, spent with Christ. So just some closing verses here. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Still talking about the grace of God. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Arm yourselves with that mind that God is here to help us. God is here to walk this valley with us. God is here to show us the way. And he will give us strength to go on. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. This is God's grace. This is God's promise. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 1. I wasn't going to read this many verses, but it's all one sentence. And we'll start in verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. It's one of those sentences that seemed like Paul just couldn't get done injecting thoughts of what he wanted to say. But especially notice verse 19, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Notice again verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Through 31. May this be a promise that we can grab a hold of. This is God speaking, or Isaiah prophesying the promise of God. Verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. The inexhaustible resources of God. And the last verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul's testimony. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do we rejoice this morning in these things that tend to drag us down? For when we are weak, then is God strong. Do you rejoice in that? Do I rejoice in that? Am I willing to be in a position of weakness so that Christ can be strong in my life? This was what Paul was saying. For we, in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our own body. That is my desire this morning, that as I live life, there are troubles, there are trials, there's hardships, there's things in life that are hard to bear. They are. And yet, if we keep, the more we see Jesus, the more we arm ourselves with that mind of Christ, that He is able to minister to the needs of my heart, give me strength to go on, give me grace to experience these things, then as we give ourselves to Him, then He is able to minister to the needs of our own heart more than we can ever imagine or think. Praise His name. Let's kneel for prayer.